At some point, when Kurama became conscious in Himurari, he knew he was in Himurari and in little form. So, what do you think the play was to, like, regroup, get his shit together and go back to Naruto? Or, like, now Himurari is the host for the Ninetales? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Herbal Synergies of the Shop. I'm your host, Sinji. With me, as always, Herbie.
What's up, the good folks that listen to us?
You made crickets excited to hear you, Herbie.
I know. They get with the positions, so now their natural predators might eat them. So.
What's a cricket's natural predator?
Frogs, bugs,
probably birds too.
Birds, right? Yeah. Anything, shit. Humans.
Yo, crickets get inside my house sometimes, and they like I never expect to see them, so they always freak me out when I do see them.
Yeah, nah, they crickets. Some people like eating crickets. Me, nah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they feel like if they eat crickets, they'll find more things humorous.
And how is that?
I don't know. It was just a bad joke. Due to cricket noise, and let's move on. Flavor of the week!
Yeah, let's see. A whole bunch of flavors you could do. I enjoyed Classroom of the Elite. That had left me with some questions. I'm like, huh, I wonder what's going to be answered. Definitely Naruto this week. I was like, yeah. Very, very excited about that. Either one of those two that we'll get into later.
I'll do Naruto with you. And can I just say, Boruto, I'm sorry, but I'll do Boruto along with you. And can I just say that got spoiled for me? On Instagram with just a picture. Just a picture. I knew. So, like, I knew it was a spoiler and not just a fan thing because of the timing of it. I was just like, that freaking chapter comes out tomorrow. I was like, oh, yeah, it's got to. I'm willing to put money that this is an accurate spoiler.
I wish I knew.
But in case you didn't know what I'm talking about, it's the ending of it.
Yeah, I know. Because that, I was like, yeah. Hey, Brett. Yeah, I was like, yeah, my boy. My boy's back. But yeah.
So do you think. That's a good one. Okay, so like, should we talk about it?
Nah, let's just say that for last.
Okay. All right. What do you want to talk about right now?
You guys talk about Berserker Gluttony, and I'll sandwich it on in there.
Berserker Gluttony? Okay, let me go.
Yeah, then Classroom of the Elites, you know, then you let you get on the other one. Nah, I mean.
Okay.
And then,
So, I don't want to say there's too much going on in a Berserker Gluttony this episode. It's episode 2, Hunger Boost. And in this episode, Fate decided to rescue the girl, but when he thought the dude that kidnapped her disappeared, he actually didn't. He was getting her for the Holy Knights that were torturing Fate. So the sword, which is Greed, told him to, you know, run with her, turn your back, make it seem like you're running away because you're not. You're not actually weaker than him. So he does that and he throws a pile of boxes onto the dude and catches dude by surprise. And he ends up cutting him down and getting the answer that the Holy Knights put him up to it. I'm surprised the girl wasn't scared of him because he wasn't really quiet about how he was just stabbing him. But regardless, he rescued the girl and, like, gave her some food, and it was like the first time she ate meat, and like she was really happy. He brought her back to the church that was missing her when they were all eating food and her plate was just waiting there. And he remembered something his dad told him. He was like, no matter how hard life gets, if you can laugh them off, you'll be happy one day. I'm not really saying I agree with that saying, but it's one way to approach life.
Yeah, if you can't laugh at things, then, you know, is it really even worth it?
It's like fake it till you make it, I guess.
I don't know about that.
It's basically what he's saying. Fake it till you make it.
You're not faking a laugh. You just got to find the stuff that makes you laugh in life. And then when you can, you'll be all right.
But we go over to the bartender who was talking to a guy on how things are changing. How things are changing and how Fate landed a job with, what's her name again?
The Hart family.
Yes. And my man got all dressed up for his first day. He was looking professional. You know, he was giving it the A effort. You know, he had, homegirl took him to her father's grave. He died like a couple weeks ago. And both their dads died in similar ways, we end up learning. He gets introduced to the head maid, which is Haru. And the first thing she tells him is behave in a way that's like professional, like befitting of a servant of this estate. And like very next scene, he's just stuffing his face with no manners. So, you know, he's working, he's getting along with, the workers there. Man,
eating some good meat.
He was eating some good meat. It looked like he was eating some, what cut like would you Luffy. Say that might be?
It looked like
steak. Looked like a almost a New York strip cut, or maybe, I don't know.
Do I look like I eat steak?
You don't?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, steak don't really agree with me.
Gotcha. I'm sorry for your loss.
That ain't a loss, because steak ain't that great anyway.
Damn. I love me a good steak. Anyways.
You look like you love steak.
I do. I don't eat it often, but eventually I want to. So every once in a while, I want a good steak. What is the blondie's name? Is it Alice? No, it's not
Roxy.
Alice. Roxy. Why
Roxy
can't I,
Hart.
Why I can't know. I not I'm, remember that?
You might want to write down some notes.
Nah, I have to never. I mean, I could write down her name, but like, I'm just tired. That's probably why.
Not
I can't
taking notes.
It.
Couldn't be me.
It's hard to find. Whatever. So she invites him for tea, and like he faints and like blacks out, and when he wakes up in the middle of the night, Greed explains that like his gluttony skill has a taste, and now it's your hunger is stronger than before. You can really see when it's kicking in by the like. It'll show in your eyes, and his eyes were red. So he went out and he started hunting goblins.
And Goblin Slayer.
It took him like, I want to say maybe 3 hours of hunting before he satiated his appetite. But then a Goblin King showed up and he couldn't resist but try to attack the Goblin King. So he got in a sneak attack. I think he lopped off its one arm, and then he had to fight it for the rest of the time. And he finally took it down and absorbed what was the skill? I think
regeneration.
Yep, it's health regeneration. Which the way they have this structured, either words are gonna get really cramped on this translation, or they're gonna be doing a two-part, like next page type of description thing.
Nah.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. No.
And then Greed, he finally absorbed enough power, and Greed told him, like, hey, upgrade me. It's going to cost all the stats you just got. And he was like, ah, maybe another time. He's like, you can't claim me as yours if you don't upgrade me. So I was like, well, then it's a no-brainer. I kind of need you. You're the perfect sword for my ability. We're just going to go ahead and upgrade you. And Greed upgraded into a bow that shoots magical arrows. And it'll pretty much hunt whatever you fire at by itself. It's got like a homing system, I guess. And yep. That was that episode. We're going to see how OP he gets by episode 3.
But yeah,
I don't know how much sleep he's gonna get because now he has to hunt at night just to satiate his hunger.
Yeah, that was. I guess that's the cost to be the boss, baby.
I mean, he was working. I think they did say he was working for a couple weeks before like he got to that state, so maybe he can just.
Yeah, he'd been working for a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's probably once a week, but. With his upgrade, he might have to do it like once every 3-4 days or something.
It's the time should shorten with each time. What I'm surprised,
or it could elongate because it's at a higher level, so it doesn't need as much to satiate it.
That could also be a thing, but I'm thinking in terms of gluttony. You know what I mean?
Yeah, once every two months,
and like plus. If he's giving Greed all his stats, like, does his gluttony, does the amount of shit he needs revert back to what he needed before?
Yeah, I think he goes back to his initial stats.
Yeah. So, essentially, like, upgrading Greed could make hunting for him dangerous again. Like, he's, like, he gets OP, but then, like, he gives it all to Greed, so, like, the weapon's OP, but, like, if one slip up and you can probably, like, be in danger.
Yeah, it's, like, if he, if what's-his-name comes back to, the Virlik people come back and, like, just tag him right now, he'd probably be more weak than that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he loses all his skills.
It looks like he might keep the skills. It's maybe just the stats, like the health and strength and that like go to Greed. What's interesting about this protagonist really is... I'm sorry, what?
I said, yeah, they haven't really said, so there's no way to really know yet.
Mm-hmm. What's interesting about this protagonist is, like, even though he could get stronger, until he realized, like, gluttony could take over, it didn't seem like he had any actual... intentions of increasing his stats, because he was working on the state for like a couple weeks, I think they said, and he didn't do anything other than work at the estate. He didn't go hunting at night. He wasn't like crazed by the thought of getting stronger or anything. So he already seems like he's kind of different in that regard, but like I guess the gluttony skill has time to change him.
Yeah, who knows. But yeah, I think some other things is worth noting here. How there wasn't an introduction of power until the Holy Laplace gotten into place, which it kind of reminded me of how the gates just showed up in Solo.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, this is a Solo knockoff, but they're doing it in a different way,
like mixing. It's almost like they're mixing an isekai vibe with the Solo vibe, but like it's not, it's really neither.
I would say isekai because, he boy didn't die.
No, but he's got like an OP skill.
Yeah. But is it really OP if every time he has to upgrade, he goes back to being weak?
Well, that's just because of the sword. If he upgraded without Greed, he could increase his stats. It's just he's got to decide if he wants to keep Greed or not.
Yeah, but that sword is a match for him. There's probably other weapons out there that match up the other sins, so
You think there are other like skills, like you think there's someone has like skill pride where like maybe his stats boost when
he feels like he's gonna lose or something?
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Or can't die. So there's got to be a variation. So there's probably...
It's probably a girl with the skill lust where, like, people yeah, are like less willing to attack her or something like that.
Or a guy that just wants other guys' food or something. Kind of like Luffy.
Well, but isn't greed one of the sins?
It is.
And the sword has it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. So maybe the sword is, just transformed into a person or something, or it could be a curse.
Oh, you think maybe the sword is a soul trapped in the weapon?
Yeah, something along those lines.
That could be a thing. That would give more warrant to our little theory going on.
Yeah, but who knows? But yeah, then what else? At one point, I forgot that his sword could talk. I was like, how does this guy know Fate's name already? He just got in here. Yeah, so the Varric people, they're bad people doing experiments on that little girl, Sahara. And let's see. One of the things I was thinking about was, I was like, did he kill him? Because they didn't really say he killed him. And I was like, did he get a skill? So, like, the part that's not verified is if he killed him and if he got a skill, because he got the sword skill, the double slash. So I was like, huh, if he just pierced him, might just be piercing gives him his stats.
Nah, I think it did verify that he killed him because he did get the stats. Like, I actually think the sword said, like, it won't work unless you kill the person.
I didn't see that, but he, but yeah, they never really said that, but... Yeah, so I was like, oh, we'll see. Maybe they'll say some more. And yeah, so I also thought worth noting that all of a sudden a dragon that hasn't been active for 1,000 years all of a sudden comes out and kills folks. Slaughtered the whole group. I think he was summoned. There's something else there because the Grand Knight, because they said it's usually harmless is what Roxy said. So I was like, huh, something is there.
Maybe the corrupted Holy Knight set it up.
Yeah. A coincidence? I think not. Something happened. Yeah. And my boy gotta eat souls or else he dies or starve to death or he just turns into attacking folks.
Well, eventually goblins ain't gonna be enough.
Yeah, so. And then the other thing I was thinking about, if he has telepathy, why does he need to talk out loud to the sword if he's touching it?
I thought the same thing.
Yeah, I was like, that's weird.
I was like, can't he just talk that thing in his head?
Yeah, I was like, that defeats all the telepathy. And then, yeah, he did a good thing by giving the Goblin King ears to the orphanage so they could eat. It's a good guy. Deep underneath it all. So,
good guy,
on to... Classroom of the Elites, Season 3, Episode 11. There's only one rule in love, bring happiness to those you love. Now, this episode gives us a whole bunch of insights and stories and mainly kind of says why Aina Koji is the way he is. So, it starts off with Aina Koji's father. He's a supervising scientist. His organization is purpose is developing excellence in people who haven't been born a genius. I'm like, interesting. But Aina Koji's in the program. But we find out the reason why he's in there. He's been in there since birth, so he probably doesn't even really know his dad. He never really known human touch or the warmness of a mother's hug if you hurt yourself, which, you know, we'll get into later. And also, at this point, I had a thought that, did he join the school because he wanted just to be normal and see what being normal is like? Because, you know, being a genius, there's some burdens on folks because they're always looking to you to be the smartest in the room or come up with something or have a different idea or something. Or
but do you think if that was his motive, he would have went to that school?
That school probably was... Like, if he went anywhere else, he probably would stand out even more. Because he just went to some regular old public school. They'd be like, oh, this kid is brilliant. But here he could kind of blend in to be middle of the pack. He neither has to be the best nor does he have to be the worst. But I feel like if he went anywhere else, it'd be a big fish in a small pond. Yeah. So that's what I was thinking. And then we get Sakanagi and her father. And she's like, "Oh, I get it. These experiments are to create an artificial genius." And that's how Kiyotaka and Ayana Koji was there. So they picked the courses for the competition. Round one is basketball. And special rule is you can swap a student at any time. So class A's, they're playing basketball. The one guy, he's doing decent things and doesn't really look like it's too competitive. But then Ayana and Koji's like, "Hey, we're swapping in pseudo." And he's like, "Oh, I get it now." They had a whole ringer on their side. That's why. Because they're about to just take the game. So, yeah, Class C wins. And then there's a typing battle, and then English test, and then a math test, and then archery. And the score is now 3-2. And each class won the one that they put in there. So I was like, "Oh, that's very interesting." And so now it's middle math, and my boy Koenji's in there. And I'm just like, "Wow, this guy." He sits there
Yo,
with
he
his
could have
eyes
ended
shut.
it, bro.
Yeah. I was like, he just kept looking at stuff, do. All the stuff flashed up. And I was like, "Wow, okay. My man's just not even trying. He's just sitting there." So he even opened his eyes. And so they're like, "Yeah, the last one is worth the most points." And he's like, "Oh, wow, this is fun. I never did this before, but the Land Slasher is like 7,416. And the special rule for this is that the leader can buzz in and do the last one. So Ayana Koji and Sakanaji, they both do the last one. But the last one is what Koenji answers. So it's kind of like redundant because the points weren't given. So for the one. So I was like, "Huh."
He was just showing he could have, though. He was a dick.
He was. And Ayana Koji's like, "Well, I guess you can't expect too much, out of a weapon you can't really control." I was like, "Yeah." So then we get to the last activity, and chess is the last game. I was like, "Ooh." And apparently it's both of their specialties. And they played as kids, and so then we get to Ayana Koji, and this is the part where they're like, "Yeah, he's been there since day one, never known love." And the special rule for this is there's only 30 minutes that the captain can like intervene in. So the match starts. She has Suzune has the upper hand in the match because she's been playing a genius the whole time. And so, yeah, she has upper hand, and then Sakanagi takes control. And so then he's like, "Well, I guess I'll have to take control now too," because Suzune was looking overwhelmed. And Sakanagi's like, "Finally, we'll have our own match, our own fair, even match." And she's like, "Yeah, I won't beat you unless you, this is part of one of my flavors right here." He's like, "Yeah, I won't really beat you unless you make a mistake." And he's like, "Well, if you think that, then might as well not even play just to give up." And he's like, "No, I like the challenge." I was like, "Dang." So then we get one of Sakanaki's flashbacks. She didn't like the facilities, and her dad didn't like the facilities. And she vows to her dad that she's going to stop him one day. So they play, and she gets Ayana Koji in check. I was like, "Oh." Ayana Koji's looking at the map, his cold eyes in check. And he tells her to move, and Horikita looks at the move. She's like, "Huh, what?" And then she does the move. And then all of a sudden, she just has to forfeit after the next move. I was like, "Man, that's really sad." So then Sakanagi and Ayanda Koji speak. And she was like, was that really the best move for your last move? And he's like, yeah, of course it was. I wouldn't have moved it if I didn't think it was. And the chairman walks up and is like, why would you lie to that poor little girl, Ayanda Koji? And I was like, what is he talking about? And so apparently they intercepted his last move and changed it to something else that would cause him to lose. I was like, y'all dirty rascals. Like they are really gutted for my boy. So I was like, I can't believe it. And so she was kind of upset about it. She's like, yeah, you're going to pay for that. And he's like, I ain't worried about you, essentially what she says. So then they're having a rematch in chess. And she's like, why didn't Ayanda Koji ask her? She's like, why didn't you just choose like one-on-one events so we could face each other? And she's like, I did it more so to protect your secret. And I was like, oh. And it made me think, like, she knew that she did know the whole time. And I was like, man. Yeah, like, she... I wonder why she took so long to reveal herself. But I think she said she was sorry for not revealing herself sooner, later on. But yeah, I was like, oh, she could have came forward.
Mm-hmm.
And now it makes you think, is the facility... Is that school actually, like, the non-genius facility that Ayanda Koji just was like, hey, I'm just going to go here? And I feel like his father has a whole... Everyone's on his payroll there for some reason. So I don't know.
That's what I'm saying, bro. Like, because his father clearly has reached there, we saw in the first season. So, like, I'm a little confused why he went there, because I doubt he didn't. I doubt he doesn't know his father has reached.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Yeah, I honestly thought before they even showed him losing that he was going to throw the chess match. For some big brain play.
Nah.
And like, nah, he was forced to lose. I'm like, damn.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Yeah. Yeah, so. Let's see. Yeah, I don't know. I had some other notes here. There's not like want people to know until it's like. His father, like, did he not want people to know of his experiments until it was time for him to be, like, shown to the world? Like, I don't know. Is that, I think that, like, maybe Ayanda Koji would get kidnapped at some point just to get him back. So is this, like, and then I had another thought, like, is this just, like, an experiment of the school, like, to like, show like versus facility or like training for accident. It's like which one's better,
right?
Yeah, control group. I don't know. And did so. Sakanagi says she wanted to. The reason why she didn't choose one on ones because she wanted to be alone with him as long as she could, as possible. She's like, yeah, because he looked lonely in the room. And she just wanted to help him out. And she was like, yeah, humans learn warmth through, like, contact. And she's like, yeah, don't be afraid. And this, that, and the other. He's like, I know exactly what you mean. And she's like, yeah, just, you know, here it is, whatever, da, da. And then they end up shaking hands. And I was like, oh, man, it's a good episode.
It was a good episode.
Yeah, I'm going to be sad, but it's over.
And one more episode.
Yeah. I can't handle it.
You're going to have to handle the king.
Hey, I know I'm going to have to handle it. I ain't no sucker.
MC.
Nah, sucker.
MC.
Can you dig it?
Sucker. Sucker. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah. Maybe sensei is cold and empty. All right, dog. It's on you, baby.
All righty. I was a little undecided on what to watch, but I know the manga for Kaiju number 8 is popular, so with the episode coming out the day I was watching my shows, I was just like, alright, let's just give this one a try. So here we go. Kaiju number 8, episode 1, The Man Who Became a Kaiju. So far, it was an interesting show, but, like, it didn't capture, like, it was, like, it wasn't, like, oh, I gotta watch the next episode. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, this giant thing just pops up. This giant kaiju just pops up and, like, starts destroying the city. And, like, they sound off an evacuation. There's helicopters coming up, and the one of the main characters, who's a female, comes out, pulls out a freaking railgun, and just blasts a hole in the thing, and the thing just explodes everywhere. So then the main character, who turns out to be a cleaner, which confused me a little bit, because then I'm like, oh, is this not gonna be what I think it is? He comes up, and, like, they're responsible for cleaning up the carcasses of the kaiju. So, like, they have a week to clean up every single last part of the creature. And, like, I guess his site boss assigned the dude to the intestines. And, like, the thing with the intestines is they say, when you're on intestine duty, you lose your appetite because you're, like, you're dealing with shit all day. So he goes home, he goes to sleep, and, like, he goes home and he rests, and he's watching TV, and he's seeing, like, the girl who's seems to be a main character as well. Him and her, when they were kids, and I guess their school or area got attacked by a kaiju, they made a promise to become, like, defenders. Then, like, be the coolest defender. And she's a captain at her young age, and he's just, you know, a cleaner. So he's like, even though you can tell, like, he doesn't mean in his words, he's trying to, like, see, like, the positives in the situation. But meanwhile, his place is a mess. There's beer cans everywhere, and, like, he's clearly doesn't seem like he's particularly happy with his situation. But the next day happens, and, like, they get introduced to the new kid, the guy with the white hair, Ichikawa, and he wants to be on the defense force. So, like, he didn't like the main character, whose name I still don't know. At first glance,
Kafka.
Yeah,
that's Kafka.
Kafka. Yes.
Like Kafka.
Yep. He didn't like him at first because he gave up, but, like, I guess Kafka reached the age limit because it comes up later, which we'll talk about. And they, like, go to start cleaning, and new kid gets assigned to intestines. And Kafka is like, ah, yes, that's what you get. And he's like, you too, Kafka. I was like, gosh, me too, 2 days in a row, why? And he's like, you're good with intestines. And plus, you never actually say no. So,
yeah,
a boss's dream. Someone who will just constantly say yes.
Come be me.
Ichikawa, I think his name is. Or am I saying it wrong?
No, that's right. Ichikawa, or Reno is his first name.
Ichikawa, like, lost his appetite, which Kafka expected. But Kafka also didn't really have his appetite. And he's like, hey, man, you really should get something in your stomach. He's like, nah, I don't feel up to eating. He's like, yeah, I bet. But then he throws him, like, a juice pouch or protein thing or something. Multivitamin pouch. And he's like, you have to get something in your stomach or else you're not going to last. And plus, use these. They help a lot. So, you know, he had nose plugs, and he tried to force them onto Ichikawa, but, like, Ichikawa didn't want to take it. So they go back on duty. They finish cleaning up, and once they're wrapping up for the day, they have a little moment, and right when the moment was over, a kaiju showed up and was about to kill Ichikawa, but then Kafka saved him. Told Ichikawa to, it was Kafka. Ichikawa was about to get got again, and Kafka saved him twice. and told Ichikawa to run, get as far away as possible from here. You can't become part of the defense force squad if you die here. I'll distract the thing, you go. So Kafa starts running, and he like sees a hallway. Mind you, this thing is like 20 times bigger than him. It really should have caught up with him a long time ago, but then he like slides into the opening, and again, that thing should have just easily caught him, but he gets away from it, and like just when he thinks he broke through the glass. It was actually kind of cool to see. He got cut by a piece of glass on his cheek, and he's like just when he thought he escaped and got free, he reminisced on like his promise with Captain Girl and
Captain Mina Ashiro.
Mina with homegirl Mina.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing just busted through a freaking building and kept chasing him. So he tried to hold his ground, which I don't know what made you think you were going to be able to stave off or parry an attack from a creature 20 times your size. But the thing sent him flying. It busted up his leg, left him with some wounds. And just when he was about to get eaten, Ichikawa smacked that thing in the face. But, like, I get, like, the dramatic scene they wanted to create, but, like, Kafka was already in that thing's mouth. If you hit that thing in the mouth, it was going to move Kafka, too. But, whatever. So Ichikawa showed up to help Kafka because, like, he can't be in the defense force if he just gives up and, like, leaves Kafka to die. So now they're both in danger of dying because, like, neither of them can handle that thing. And that's when a white tiger showed up. And then, like, it looked like some bullets blew that thing apart and left blood splattered on those two. It was Captain Mina who showed up and, saved them and dispersed right after. And told her, whoever her operations that she talks to, said there were injured civilians and they end up in the hospital. Ichikawa told Kafka that they raising the age restriction for the defense force, not enough people signing up. Kafka resolves himself into trying again to join the defense force. And that's when some weird kaiju looking thing, that's probably not a kaiju it probably is a kaiju, shows up.
Yeah,
it shows up and it's like, I found you or whatever. And then like just enters his body. And he turns into like this skeleton, really cool looking kaiju. An old man seems to walk by and immediately picks up the phone to report like, hey, a kaiju. And he's like, hey, he's calling you in. Let's get out of here, senpai. So Ichikawa's handling that pretty well. Probably better than Kafka. And that was the end of episode 1. Thoughts, Irby?
Yeah. I didn't read the title, so I was like, huh.
I didn't read the title either.
I'm not sure if it didn't have a title, but I was like, oh, so this is basically someone just gets kaiju powers and is going to fight kaiju. So I was like, huh. But yeah, it's not bad.
Oh, it looks like after the credits, you get like a scene for all the pervs out there with Captain Mina in the bath. And like she gets up and just puts a pair of panties on. And then she just has a towel. And you see her bare back.
See, you can't even talk about it because you ain't even look at it when you watched it. You just going back looking at it now.
Yeah, I'm watching it right now. Just skip past the credits to see if there was anything there.
Nah, you should have watched it when you initially watched it the first time.
Yeah, true. But I guess she got the call about Kafka. She doesn't know it's Kafka, but I guess she got the call and now she's going to be on the hunt.
Yeah, but essentially I feel like he's going to be able to control the kaiju's power and And he's going to show up just fighting kaiju. And they're going to be like, who's this kaiju fighting other kaijus? They must be evolving.
He's probably going to get like a Yuji deal where like Yuji had Sukuna inside him. So like they'll use him to fight them. But like they're ready to kill him at any point.
Yeah. Who knows? But yeah.
Move on.
Yeah. I'm going to get on to Boruto.
Boruto
Uzumaki. Yeah, man. Whew. Yeah, Boruto Blue Vortex, Chapter 9, Nine Tails, which I think that is a very fitting chapter to bring back the Nine Tails in Chapter 9. See what it did there?
Now that you mention it, yes, I see what it did there.
Yeah. I was like, oh, it's just leading up to it. So, yeah, that might be the reason why they made, because early on, some of them were like 70 pages. I think the first two were like 70 pages, which they could have made them like 40 a piece.
You think they extended it so that like they can
get it would line up with chapter 9, which I'm not mad with at all, because it was great. So, yeah, the villains show up. They're looking for Boruto. They're like, oh, we sensed Ninetales' chakra. Where did they go? And so, yeah, and they're surprised to find Himurari. They're like, there's a Ninetales' chakra. Not who we're looking for, but we'll take it. And so the Inuchika Shika Cho group is there, and they're like, what are you talking about? Ninetales, what do you mean? Which, that kind of irked me a little bit. I'm like, how y'all not know what the Ninetales is? Like,
They knew. They said he, because like, what it wasn't Shikamaru's kid, Shikadai. It was someone else was about to say the Ninetales. No, wait, they were talking about Naruto. Maybe they didn't.
Yeah, they were talking about Naruto.
But they should know.
That's why I was like, how y'all not know about the Ninetales? Like, y'all tried to keep that a secret? Are they doing like what they did before?
Yeah, maybe like, they don't want to reveal that Ninetales is dead.
No,
that's
like,
the only thing I could think.
The way it made me, that whole scene made me think that like they did before when no one knew that. They're like, oh, we can't talk about the Ninetales incident or whatever with Naruto first started.
Hmm. Really?
So.
I guess I could see how it would give that impression.
Yeah, because it was like, because what's his name? Ino's boy was like the Ninetales. What are you talking about? I was like, yeah. So I was like, well then. But it makes no sense. So they keep asking questions, and then they're like, yeah, we're going to capture Himawari. And they're like, huh, what? And so they tried to catch her. Chocho was like, what's he going on about? Which she might not have heard him because she might have just came in there. And Shikadai was like, yeah, what's the Ninetales got to do with Himawari? And the guy was like, oh, we don't know. But the world keeps coming up with questions. And, you know, I like that because I got a thirst for knowledge. And so they tried to catch the Himawari. But the Inuchika Cho trio pulls her out of the tree stump. Oh, man. So then Boruto, and I think that's a Jiraiya copy.
Yes.
Yeah, they're like, hey, Jiraiya copy says they made a move in Kona. So they get to talking again back to the group. And like, yeah, why are you after Naruto? And they're like, oh, to be more specific, we weren't after you. We was after the Nine Tails chakra signature. And I was like, oh, snap. So then the frog, they get back talking. The frog's like, hey, Shikamaru Nara, don't turn around, but I'm here. And they're here for the Nine Tails, the Ten Tails tree. And so he tells them Boruto's coming back, and they fly in, shoo, shoo, shoo. And so then they get another mind transmission link up, and we find out Kawaki finds Boruto. And I'm like, oh, he called him an enemy. And I was like, what? Enemy? And Boruto's like, man, let's not do this now. Kona's getting attacked. He's like, oh, you're attacking Kona. This is you. What's up with your people? I'm like, stop it. You know Boruto's
I didn't like that. I was like, bro, you know damn. First of all, you're not even around people you need to be convincing that Boruto's an enemy. Why are we... listen, the best way to tell a lie is to believe it yourself, I guess.
Yeah, like, he was like, yeah, but he calls in, Kawaki calls in somebody. He's like, yeah, Boruto's here where all the people got killed. I'm like, you know, Boruto was nowhere near there. Like, stop. Yeah, so then he tries to attack Boruto. And my boy Boruto's like sidestepping him and do all this stuff and like makes it look at full. He's like, did you even train my guy?
Yo, I love that.
Yeah. I was like, whew. Yeah, but before that he was like, hey, if you want to come along with me to fight these folks, you can. And he's like, are you mocking me? Like, bro, you don't want to protect your city? So, nope. But yeah, makes quick work out of him. And so then Kawaki starts activating the karma, and then the karma starts resonating, and Boruto gets up out the paint. Kawaki's like, what? He can't control the karma? Which leads me to think that, remember how in the very beginning, he had the karma activated on his face?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that wasn't Boruto speaking, but the Momoshiki, it was rampaging through after seeing that little scene.
Yeah, I mean, because I don't think Kawaki doesn't have anyone active in him, but like Boruto does have an Okotsuki active inside him, even if he's not like
a Tatsuki.
Yeah, I just don't understand. You're talking the very beginning, first scene, right?
Yeah, when he was standing on top of Naruto's head and the whole village looked destroyed.
But there was dialogue in that where, like, Boruto said he's a ninja too or something like that.
Yeah. Maybe he had regained his consciousness after Momoshiki went on a rampage.
That could be.
And was able to, like, still harness the karma.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. It's very interesting. I can't wait to see more. Yeah, so then we get to back to the group, and they're dodging the attack that's going to blow them to smithereens. So, was Inojin? He conjures up a bird. They fly. They flee. They're coming up with ideas of game planning, and he's like, "Hey." Like, we got to get out of here. Why would you flee out the village, go somewhere secluded so that won't cause any more harm? And like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. But Himari's like, nah, just drive me off alone because they're only after me. He's like, I'll escape by myself. And I was like, okay. But the Ten Tails tree people, they're like, oh, that's interesting. Like, we told him we only wanted Himari, but they're all fighting for her sake. Now I'm curious about it. So there's like scientific people there. And so, in the middle of Himawari and them escaping, she's like, they're too strong. And then she goes into a sacred place, and she's like, where am I? And he's like, oh. And then the voice is like, good grief. I can't believe that jerk Ten Tails would sniff me out. And guess who it is? It's Kurama and Baby Bode.
So... All right, let's talk theories, because like I have multiple thoughts about this. So, how do you think Kurama ended up in Himawari in the first place? Because he couldn't have escaped from Naruto. Naruto was in different dimensions, so like he had to have been in there prior.
Yeah, I feel like it's the the chakra energy transfer. It could just be like being in close proximity the whole time.
But if that was the case, Boruto would have some too, and so would Hinata, like, wouldn't it? So, like...
But it's... The Nine Tails and him, I feel like he's ingrained in their, like, DNA together. So I'm not sure that Hinata would be able to get Nine Tails' essence, but Naruto's offspring could.
And... So maybe... Maybe Boruto can't because of, like, the Akatsuki thing.
Akatsuki?
Yeah, that. I can't. Yeah. I still can't say that. But, so, like, this...
Or Boruto has it, but, you know, he just hasn't shown it yet.
Or maybe the Akatsuki is too overpowered in Boruto, so they didn't sense it in him.
Yeah, because...
Okay.
Because I feel like the karma, I don't know.
So, like... Either way, this had to be like it had to be something along those lines because like it couldn't have been known to Kurama or Naruto because like the way they say goodbye. So this begs the question: like Kurama knew at some point when Kurama became conscious in Himurari, he knew he was in Himurari and in little form. So. What do you think the play was to like regroup, get his shit together, and go back to Naruto, or like now Himurari is the host for the Nine Tails?
Well, I just think what happened before where they did, because essentially he's chakra, and I feel like chakra can't be it's kind of along the states of matter, can't be created nor destroyed. So I feel like, just like when they did this experiment with, was it Ito? The one of the bubble guys, they took the Naruto's essence that was on the rampage and put into that little kid's body. And so I just feel like they all share, because even when Minato was back alive, he had the other half of the Nine Tails, and like they knew what was going on the outside without having to say it, because I guess the energy transfer link or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So he probably knew. Kurama probably did it this way so that the they would stop coming after Naruto because they'd be like, oh, he doesn't have the Nine Tails anymore, so he's not made to be devoured by the tree. But he probably didn't realize that they could sense the Nine Tails chakra, which is why they sniffed me out. It's relevant. So
that sounds like a plausibility.
Yeah, you know, I got all sorts of possibilities.
Possibilities.
Yeah, so.
Bunch of canned goes chicken noodle.
I make my own homemade chicken noodles. Yeah.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's back. I'm glad. I'm happy. All is right in the world.
Well. Other than Naruto still being in limbo.
Hey, small victories, baby. Small victories.
Yeah. All right, and you got anything else, Herb?
Yeah, you want a quick Jujutsu rundown?
Yeah, sure.
They introduced two new people, Miguel and LaRue. I think forget who it was, but he's the one that does the break dancing, which is hilarious because y'all see what I'm talking about when y'all read the chapter. Because, I was like, really? The first one introduced like this? But I forget his ability. But I know the other guy's ability, he can touch hearts and, like, control people. That was 255. Did you read 256?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that one is... Yeah, Gojo pretty much explains why he can't use the Black Flash. The fight continues. And Sukuna's using Black Flash left and right, just like, bow. You get a Black Flash. You get a Black Flash. I'm like, man.
Didn't they say something like he's using it to recover his cursed energy or something like that?
No, it's like it's more like temperate, and he is. It's not that he can't use it like consistently, but it's like the terms that he in which he can activate it are like weird and like adjusting. Like if it was a timing thing, he could do it, but like there's so many other factors. He said that goes into it, like his cursed energy, and yeah. So, but yeah, so then they start fighting. And LaRue comes in and, like, touches Sukuna's heart with his ability. And it awakens Yuji's abilities. And I was like, oh, snap.
So now we're about to see what Yuji gets to be, is capable of.
We might.
With some plot armor. He's probably still going to get his ass kicked.
You never know.
You're right, I don't. But all I know is getting Megumi out of his... his depression is probably going to be the key to this fight.
Yeah, nah, he ain't getting out. He done for.
You right.
Dunzo, Defendunzo. He's never going to dance again. The defeat got no rhythm. To pretend. But yeah. Yeah, so, got anything else we've been watching? Waiting, commiserating.
I'm watching Goblin Slayer. I got maybe two or three episodes left if it's a 13 episode season.
Yeah, it's only 13.
Okay, so I got three episodes left. Actually, four if you include 10. And I started this one that I was almost going to pick for us called Bartender Glass of God, but it's, I thought it would be something along the lines of like, the bartender for gods, but it's really like finding the ultimate bartender that always knows the perfect drink to give you, I guess. So I didn't really like that one for us, but it's interesting to watch. It's only got three episodes out right now, and then I started watching this one called, oh no, I already talked about that last week. Never mind. That's really remember. It. Yeah, God's games we play, but that one I might keep watching once I get past Goblin Slayer.
Yeah, Goblin Slayer's rough.
Then I can get into I think you watched Shield Hero already, so I can get into Shield Hero.
Yeah, I watched it already. It wasn't as bad as the previous season.
Would you consider it good?
Yeah, definitely better than the previous season.
Okay. All right, yeah, I'll get into Goblin Slayer. I want to get into Dr. Stone again. Like, I didn't watch any of the last season, but just one anime at a time, I guess.
One quarter mile at a time, baby.
Alright, yeah, that's gonna do it for this episode. Thank you guys for listening. If you enjoyed, like, comment, subscribe, and we'll catch you another time. Peace!
Peace.